great words, great truths to their songs. If you have your scriptures with you, please turn to Philippians 4, we're in 4 through 23 this morning. If you're using the Pew Bible, I believe it's page 982. Today we're wrapping up this letter that we began, I believe, back in the middle of June. I pray that you've been blessed and challenged by it as I have. It's probably been one of the hardest books in the sense of really examining my heart and motives and actions of trying to be more and more like Christ. So I pray that you've been blessed and challenged through the messages. If you missed any of them, you can find them on our website or you can request a CD as well. Our website is pitcairnpca.org. Some notes for you. I'll be on study leave this week since we're finishing up Philippians. I'll be preparing for our next adventure in God's Word. We'll walk through the Gospel according to Luke. The timing fits well as we draw near the Advent season, as we'll be looking at many of the birth narratives we find in Luke. Since I'm on study leave next week, we'll have the honor and blessing of hearing from one of our missionaries. He will speak for us during the Sunday school hour, as well as preach for us during Sunday school. He does work overseas in the Muslim region. And it will be good to hear from him as we learn what the Lord has been doing through his ministries overseas. We'll actually not be able to live stream it for his safety and the safety of his family. And so, but if you're watching online and you want a copy of the sermon from next week, please email us, let us know. We'll get that to you. But I'm excited, though I won't be preaching, I'll be here to hear from our missionary, to continue to pray for him and his family and partner with him. But this morning we're going to wrap up Philippians. Let me pray and we'll close out this series this morning. Heavenly Father, Lord, we've covered many truths in this beautiful letter to the Philippians. And so, Lord, we feed upon these truths each Sunday that you give to us by the power of your Holy Spirit. And, Lord, I pray they become deep-seated in our minds, that they will continue to transform the core of our beings, of these great truths that we've covered thus far, that we put no boasting in any of our flesh. We consider our works before your holiness and righteousness as dung and cling to the righteousness of Christ. Lord, that we'd be overwhelmed by the great mercies and truth that Christ would do everything needed by his life, sacrificial death, buried in a grave and risen on the third day. You continue to impress on us that we'd be in awe of that, and your Spirit would continue to transform our hearts and minds to have the mind of Christ, who, to secure our salvation, would humble himself to consider the interests of a broken world, a sinful world that would despise and reject him, that he would humble himself to serve the interests of others, to secure our salvation, Lord, that we would continue to transform our minds, to be so overwhelmed by this love, to understand what it means to consider the interests of others around us, in our homes, in our church, in the world, that we would shine as lights, we would shine as stars in a dark, lost place. Lord, we thank you for your mercies. Lord, we thank you for the work that you've begun in us, you'll complete it. And Lord, we pray that you would help us to work out that salvation with fear and trembling, with reverence and honor and praise to you. So this morning we wrap up this letter considering the idea of partnering in the gospel. Help us to see the beauty of the partnership between the Philippians and Paul and the other saints, that we're partners, that we're a family, that we're your bride, but we are on a mission to share this word, to share this truth, to share this hope of Christ crucified and risen. To Holy Spirit, we pray that you would teach us, open our hearts and our minds to these things, speak to us right where we are today. We thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. So Philippians 4, 14 through 23, the end of the letter. Paul says, "Yet it was kind of you, to share my trouble. And you Philippians yourselves know that in the beginning of the gospel, when I left Macedonia, no church entered into partnership with me in giving and receiving except you only. Even in Thessalonica, you sent me help for my needs once and again. Not that I seek the gift, but I seek the fruit that increases to your credit. I've received full payment and more. I'm well supplied. Having received from Epaphroditus the gifts you sent, a fragrant offering, a sacrifice acceptable and pleasing to God, my God will supply every need of yours according to his riches and glory in Christ Jesus. To our God and Father be glory forever and ever. Amen. Greet every saint in Christ Jesus. The brothers who are with me greet you. All the saints greet you, especially those of Caesar's household. The grace of the Lord Jesus Christ be with your spirit." Sends the reading of God's word. This morning, he who has ears to hear, let him hear what the Spirit of God is saying today. If you're familiar at all with the scriptures and the letters of Paul, you know that this letter has a little bit of a different tone than the other ones. It has this tone of friendship. When you read through all four chapters in one sitting, you hear this tenderness, this sweetness of friendship between Paul and the Philippians. There's genuine concern between Paul and the people in Philippi, as well as the concern between the people at Philippi for Paul. And this, there's a closeness, there's a tight bond, a committed partnership in the gospel. Perhaps you recall how this church started. This letter was written about 10 years after the start of the church in Philippi. You can read this in Acts 16. We've talked about it a couple of times through this series, that Paul and Silas entered the region of Philippi, and there were some ladies praying outside, and Paul and Silas joined that prayer meeting and shared the gospel with the ladies. And Lydia, who was the seller of purple, the wealthy industrialist, if you will, came to faith, and her household were baptized. She would forever be grateful, as she knew that life is more than the possessions, more than her labors, more than her work. She found forgiveness. She found joy. She found peace in Jesus, who loved her, who lived for her, who died for her, and now was her Lord. And while Paul continued to preach in that region, he was able to release a slave girl from a spirit of divination. Her life was released from demonic forces, and she would be forever grateful for being released from that prison. And while continuing to preach, Paul and Silas are thrown in jail, but they continue to pray, they continue to share, they continue to sing, and there's a great earthquake in the region so badly where the doors and the bars of the cell spring open, and the prisoners have a chance to escape, and the jailer who's in charge of this jail and the inmates is scared to death because he's figured all the inmates have run away and he's going to kill himself. He figures his life is over. There's no more sense of living. And Paul says, "Stop. We're all here." And the jailer must have been listening to their prayers, to the gospel and the singing. He said, "I want that. How can I be saved?" And they share with this jailer the road to hope, to forgiveness, to eternal life. And the jailer comes to faith, and he and his household are baptized as well. That was the beginning of the church of Philippi. They all understood and experienced the power of the gospel to change lives. They all experienced the grace and mercy of Christ and the forgiveness of sins. And they knew this was the news that was revolutionary. It was the news that the world of the Roman Empire needed to hear. They needed to hear this. And so they partnered with Paul to care for him, to give him the means to spread the gospel message in this Roman world. They entered into a partnership to invest their time, their talents, their treasures for the mission of the gospel. They realized of all the things they could invest in, the gospel had the greatest return and rewards. It was the hope of the world. It was the answer to their guilt. It was the answer to condemnation. It was the answer to the grave, to death itself. It's the answer to the meaning and purpose of life. And so they joined in with Paul. They partnered with Paul to spread this news found in Christ and Him crucified, risen from the dead, Lord and Savior. They partnered with Him to take this message to the world. In church, as we begin to think about these things in our context, we are brothers and sisters in Christ. We are His bride. We are children of the kingdom of God, and we are called to partner together for the cause of the gospel. We cannot be isolated Christians caring for our own little personal world, but we must partner together to spread the gospel and helping others like missionaries take this gospel to the world. As Jesus said, as we'll begin in Luke, the Son of Man came to seek and save the lost. And our world is very, very lost right now. There's much confusion, there's much hatred, there's much pain, there's much confusion, there's much blindness. And the answer that we must partner in, the answer that we must invest in, the answer that we must go out in our personal walks to this world and to help missionaries is the gospel of Christ, Christ crucified and risen, Lord and Savior. So we need to ask, how are we doing our parts and partnering together? So our theme is asking ourselves this question, what kind of people make for a blessed gospel partnership? What kind of people? And the first one you see there, our first point, people that share in each other's troubles. People that share in each other's troubles. Paul writes in verse 14, he says, "It was kind of you to share in my trouble." And he goes on and talks how they blessed him through Epaphroditus with this collection. And so Paul ends his letter where he began. Back in Philippians 1, verses 3 through 5, he says, "I thank my God in all remembrance of you, always in every prayer of mine, for making my prayer with joy because your partnership in the gospel from the first day until now." He's in this jail tied to a Roman soldier, this Roman guard. He's thankful for their partnership, their care, their concern. He's encouraged by them. And now at this end of this letter, he thanks them again for sharing in his trouble. The Philippians didn't express partnership for Paul and the gospel in word only. It wasn't like, "Good job, Paul. We're with you, Paul. We're praying for you, Paul." But they partnered with him in action, in sacrificial care and concern. The Philippians had a first responder mindset, if you will. First responders like firefighters, policemen, EMTs, and such. What are responses in the sign of trouble? They run toward it, not away. When the sirens go off, they're not fleeing, they're running towards it. They want to do something to help. They put their lives on the line for the care of others. They want to share in their troubles. And here the Philippians partner with Paul for the gospel and share in his troubles. Paul needed funds to pay for his house arrest. He needed food. He needed supplies. So the Philippians took up a collection and sent it with Epaphroditus, who traveled 800 miles to Paul and gave it to him. And he says, "This is the first time you did this. You've done it a couple other times." They love Paul and the cause of the gospel, and they wanted to share in his troubles. So as Paul is thankful for the gift, it says in her text, in her partnership, not for himself. He's like, "Not that I need the gift, but I seek it because I want you to be blessed in this partnership. Because you're going to receive from the hand of God a blessing because you desire the kingdom of heaven first." They're seeking the kingdom of heaven first. Rather than just investing in the things of the world, they're investing in the call of the gospel. And Paul reminds them, God will supply every need of yours according to his riches and glory. They gave out of their poverty. They gave what they have. And Paul is saying, God will take care of you. As Jesus says to his people, seek first the kingdom of God. Make that first priority. And everything else that we worry about, food, clothing, and shelter, he'll take care of you. As we sang, his eye is on the sparrow. He watches over you. So what kind of people make for a blessed gospel partnership? People that share in each other's trouble. And the key word is share. The key word is share. We are called to be people who want to help others, but we also need to be people who will allow others to help us. If you're like me, I wrestle with pride, fear, shyness, whatever, and I want to handle things on my own. I want to, figure it out myself, and this idea of letting others share in my trouble is so foreign to me. But I'm negating God blessing others through helping me. So we are to share in our troubles, not only desire to help others, but to let others help us as well. To be partners, to have fellowship, we need to share in one another's troubles. That's what the family of God does. As Paul says in Galatians 6:10, so when we have opportunity, let's do good to everyone, especially to those of the household of faith. Second, what kind of people make for a blessed gospel partnership? People with a passion for the glory of God. He says in verse 20, to our God and Father be glory forever and ever. Amen. Paul closes his letter with a doxology, but it's more than a doxology. It's the purpose behind everything that he did. To God be the glory. To God be the glory forever and ever. Amen. May it be so truly. He's our creator. He's our redeemer. He's our king. As Psalm 115 says, not to us, O Lord, not to us, but to your name give glory because of your steadfast love and faithfulness. And as Paul would write to Timothy, to the King of ages, immortal, invisible, the only God, be honor, glory forever and ever. Amen. We are called to glorify God and enjoy him forever in all that we do. Whether you're eating a Burger King, whether you're drinking at home, and all that we do. Are we thinking about it in ends as a mean of thankfulness, that we're receiving mercies from the hand of God, where we just say, thank you. That we handle things and treat things in such a manner that it would give honor, a big round of applause, so to speak, glory to the God who blesses us. As we partner together and to make the gospel known, all pride should melt away when we pursue the glory of God. When we try to partner together to do the things for the cause of Christ, all selfishness should melt away for the cause to bring glory to God. All laziness should melt away for the cause and the goal to bring glory to God. All apathy should melt away as we seek to bring glory to God and partner gospel fellowship. And so the question we need to be asking ourselves daily is, what I'm doing bringing glory to God? If we could ask ourselves that question and seek to align our thoughts, our efforts, and our actions to it, think how things might look a little different in our lives. The energy would be different. The excitement would be different. The focus wouldn't be on outcomes, but just in the moment of saying, am I seeking to bring glory to God in this moment that I find myself in? As Paul says, to our God and Father be glory forever and ever. Amen. And so ask yourself, is that your heart's desire to bring glory to God? We're not called to do things to please men. We're not trying to do things to try to fulfillment in them. But in all we do, to bring glory to God is an act of praise and worship. A big thank you to Him for His mercies. When you look back at your day, when you get to lay down on your pillows and you consider the actions and your thoughts and your motives that you did today, can you assess to say, was I seeking to bring glory to my Father? When I acted with such an individual in class, in school, or my co-worker, or my spouse, or did that action bring glory to my Father? Are you captivated by the glory in Christ Jesus? Think about this God who can paint the sky in His beautiful colors on a sunrise or sunset. Think about this God who can take trees and put leaves on them and at this time of season make them red and orange and yellow. Think about this one who gives us microscopic life in a fertilized egg in the womb of a woman with all its DNA and genetic code to make you. Have you been captivated by this glory of Christ who created this universe so huge, so large that the stars dwarf our galaxy? Are you captivated by the glory of this Christ who would assume flesh, come and live the life that we couldn't live, die the death that we deserve to save a sinful, wicked world, people like me? Have you been captivated by His glory? If you haven't, you haven't been looking. You haven't been listening. The heavens declare His glory. His word teaches us marvelous glory. As Paul says, from Him, through Him, to Him, all things, to Him be glory forever. What kind of people make for a blessed gospel partnership? People that are willing to share in each other's troubles, people with a passion for the glory of God, and third, people committed to the importance of every saint. People committed to the importance of every saint. Look at verse 21. Paul says, greet every saint in Christ Jesus. Greet every saint. The brothers who are with you, greet you, with me, greet you, and all the saints greet you, especially those of Caesar's household. In gospel partnership, there's no partiality. There's no favoritism. There's no cliques. He says, greet every saint. Let them know how important they are to gospel partnership. Greet every saint whom Christ has shed His blood for. Let them know that they are a vitally important part of the body of Christ. There's no one insignificant. Everyone has a role to play in this partnership. They have been gifted, filled with the Holy Spirit. Christ has died for them, and we are together for the gospel. Stephen Lawson, he writes, he says, when Paul writes, greet every saint, he means far more than merely saying hello on his behalf. The idea conveyed is to communicate the warmth of his affection for the Philippians. Paul serves as a pattern for Christian lives. We should be open-hearted toward one another, showing the love of God to others with whom we share fellowship. Even if we're shy, even if we're introverted, and we tend to withdraw, kind of like me, if it's up to me, I'm going to hide in a corner and suck my thumb, I tell Karina. I'm naturally introverted. And God says, don't stay like that. Share, connect, love, and be with people. Even if we're shy or introverted or tend to withdraw, He says we must be directed by the Holy Spirit into the lives of other people to greet and embrace them. He also writes equally, if we're independent by nature, we must seek others to love. We must extend warm expressions of the love of God to other believers. Any coldness on the part of the saint was virtually unknown in the first century, and it should be the same in our churches today, he writes. Greet every saint. Let them know that they're vitally important to the gospel. They're important to Christ, and they're important to you? Do you strive to do that? Again, I know it's hard. I'm naturally introverted. But let's connect. Let's draw near to each other. Let's get to know one another. Let's partner and share in each other's troubles for the glory and cause of Christ. Greet one another. How else are we going to get to know each other's troubles? Gospel partnership is appreciating the importance of one another. As we talked about Timothy earlier, striving to have concern, genuine concern for one another. And then he says, Paul writes, greet all the saints, and all the saints with me greet you. So the commentaries think Epaphroditus, Luke, Onesimus, Aristarchus, and some others that were with Paul and visited Paul, or with Paul even now, they all send their greetings. There's no one too high on the totem pole of spirituality. They want to share their greetings with the Philippians. And then he says, especially those of the household of Caesar, they greet you. And this had to be greatly encouraging to the Philippians. They are hearing the fruit of their gospel partnership with Paul. This highly unlikely group of people have come to Christ. Those who are working in the household of Caesar, they have come to faith. Perhaps the workers, the craftsmen in Caesar's house, saints in Caesar's house, the gospel is going forth in this partnership. And they're saying, hello, we love you. We are with you. The gospel is advancing. So people of a blessed gospel partnership share in each other's troubles, have a passion for the glory of God. They know the importance of every saint. And then lastly, they are people fueled by the grace of Jesus. Verse 23, Paul says, the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ be with your spirit. Grace experienced leads to a desire of wanting others to know that grace. If the Spirit of God has awakened you to the gloriousness of Christ, if the Spirit of God has awakened you to your lostness without Christ, if the Spirit of God has awakened you that you had a mountain of sin that you can never pay for, and that you have free and total forgiveness because of the life and death of Christ, and that you have a living hope because Christ has risen from the dead, when you've experienced that forgiveness and mercy, you should want others to experience that grace as well. When we come to faith, we experience a liberty that Christ gives. We've talked about this in our study this week on Thursday night from the Westminster Confession. When we come to faith, Christ liberates us from the guilt of sin. He liberates us from the condemning wrath of God. He liberates us from the curse of the moral law. We've been delivered from the present world, from the bondage of Satan, from the dominion of sin, to the sting of death. We have free access to God, and now we love God like a child loves his parent. That's what Jesus has done for us who have come to faith in Christ. And when you grasp that and experience it and taste that, you should be fueled to pray and desire others to experience that as well. It's marvelous grace, as the old hymn says. Marvelous grace of our loving Lord, grace that exceeds our sin and our guilt. Yonder on Calvary's mount outpoured, there where the blood of the Lamb was spilt. Grace, grace, God's grace. Grace that will pardon and cleanse within. Grace, grace, God's grace. Grace that is greater than all our sin. Have you experienced that grace? I pray that you have. If you have questions about that, see me afterwards. Let me tell you about Jesus, the Lamb of God who takes away the sins of the world. Grace experience leads to a desire of wanting others to know this grace. If you found the cure for cancer, you'd probably tell someone. We've discovered the path of forgiveness with God. We have discovered the secret to eternal life. We discovered the secret to fulfillment, to meaning and purpose. Let's partner together and share that with this world. He who is forgiven much loves much. Martin Luther writes, the highest of all God's commands is this, that we ever hold up before our eyes the image of his dear Son, that we constantly look into the mirror of the Lord Jesus Christ. He must daily be to our hearts the perfect mirror in which we behold how much God loves us and how well in his infinite goodness as a faithful God he has grandly cared for us that he would give us his dear son for us. He writes, do not let this mirror of the throne of grace be torn away from your eyes. You live daily, constantly knowing the grace of God in Christ Jesus. That's why the reformers would codify when they discovered in their readings, we are saved by grace alone, through faith alone, in Christ alone, to God be the glory alone, on the foundation of the scriptures alone. What kind of people make for a blessed gospel partnership? People that share in each other's troubles. People with a passion of the glory of God. People committed to the importance of every saint. People fueled by the grace of Jesus. I'm thankful for your partnership. Maybe there's one here today that hasn't entered that partnership, hasn't known Christ. Maybe watching online, receive Christ. Know the mercies of Christ and partner with us of this gospel who gives living hope to his people. Let us consider how we can improve on this partnership. As I said earlier, Jesus is the Son of Man who came to seek and save the lost. And there's a lot of lostness out there. May we be fueled by the grace of God in our lives to take this gospel to our loved ones, to the strangers, to the missionaries overseas. And may we shine like lights for the glory of God. Let's pray. Holy Spirit, Lord, we thank you for your truth. Lord, we thank you you've bound us together in Christ, that we are a family, that we are partners in Christ. Lord, strengthen us in that resolve, to that endeavor to glorify God, to share in our troubles, to take the grace of God, to offer that grace of God to the lost, to the broken, to the blind, to the hurting, to the condemned. Lord, we're all important. Whether we pray, whether we teach, whether we give, whether we witness, whether whatever it is, we're all important. To you be the glory. Thank you for filling us with your Spirit. Empower us to rest on Christ always. Help us to pursue and give glory to you, for there's no joy in any other thing but to glorify you, to exalt Christ in all we do and all we are. Lord, bless your people with these truths. We ask in Christ's name. Amen.